I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings, chapter 18. We're going to start with the 41st verse. When you find that, I'll ask you to please stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. If you're sitting next to your spouse, you better say, I'm glad you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen on the screen.
Amen.
Amen. If not, it's on the screen. Amen.
First
Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.
Amen.
So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. I want you to give the Lord a shout of praise in this sanctuary tonight.
Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Holy God.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
you're about to see,
about to see
what you have heard.
What you have heard.
I want to preach on the topic tonight. You're about to see what you have heard. How many know that we live in a society where seeing is believing?
Yeah.
We no longer can take somebody or something's word for it, especially in the time that we're in now, because everybody wants you to believe what they're saying. But the truth of the matter is, it's better to see it because you have proof and evidence that what they're saying is real. You see, I'm here to tell you tonight, the Lord spoke this word to me, amen, just a few weeks ago. And to be honest with you, I took this word, we were in Canova, West Virginia, and I took this word, Sister Karen, to Canova. To her, Sister Karen's stopping grounds, and we delivered in Canova. And as I was praying and seeking the Lord on what to bring tonight at Judah Tabernacle, the Lord brought this back to my memory. And the Lord said, bring it to Judah tonight, because he said, I don't believe it's just for Canova, but I believe it's for the people of Judah as well.
Amen.
Amen. How many knows that we have heard the prophecy? We have heard the promise. We have heard what the Lord is going to do. He has promised us corporately. He has promised us personally. We've heard that this is a season where he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We heard that signs and wonders are going to begin to follow them that believe. We heard that we are going to lay hands on the sick, and the sick are going to recover. We heard about casting out devils and demons in his name. We heard about all of these things, but God is about ready to take our hearing, and he's about ready to mix it with our seeing. Because I don't know about you, but I'm in a place now where I'm tired of hearing it. I want to start seeing some proof and evidence of it. Can somebody get with me on a Thursday night? And when we begin to look at the scripture that I read to you in this story, we understand who Elijah was. And it was a time where Israel was backslidden on the Lord, kind of like these United States of America is right now. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel ruled over Israel and did not honor the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we find in Scripture that Elijah did something that no prophet of God had ever done up to that moment, and that was he predicted the weather. Now, unlike our weather men and women, now Elijah got it right. And he began to predict the weather, and he said, it's not going to rain until I say so. So the Bible said that there was a drought. We find that the prophet Elijah meets a man by the name of Obadiah. Obadiah begins to talk to Elijah, and Elijah said, go present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I want to talk to him, that I want to meet with him. And Obadiah said, but if I go and tell him that and you are not present, then I'm going to lose my life over it. And the Bible said that when Obadiah, amen, this is the Obadiah that had 50 men in one cave and 50 men in the other, and the other, that when Obadiah began to meet with the king to say that Elijah wanted to meet with him, that when Elijah and Ahab came together, he looked and said, are you not the one that troubles Israel? Are you not the prophet that is bringing trouble to the land of Israel? I don't know about you, but I want to bring a disturbance to the kingdom of the enemy in this hour.
Amen.
I want to be labeled as a troublemaker to the devil.
Right.
Let me rephrase that. I want to be known as a troublemaker to the kingdom of the enemy. I want him to hear our armor rattle when we get up in the morning. I want him to know that we're coming, amen, because of what the Lord is getting ready to do. And he said, no, it is not I that troubles Israel, but it is you, for you have, amen, tore down the altars of God, and you have raised the altars of Baal and Asherah. And he said, let's meet on top of Mount Carmel. Amen. 400 and some prophets of Baal versus one prophet of God. Well, here's the end of the story. The Bible said the prophets of Baal were destroyed, but the prophet of God remained. And after they had this showdown on the top of Mount Carmel, the Bible says in verse number 41, I read it to you, he said to him, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. I've come to predict to you, and you can call me what you want, but I've come to predict to you that there is something on the horizon. Pastor's been saying it for the last several services that he feels like something is getting ready to happen. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you, something, Brother Rush, is getting ready to take place on the horizon. I'm hearing the sound of the abundance of rain. I'm hearing the sound of the rumbling of rain. One translation says, I hear the sound of heavy rain. What I want to know is anybody else hearing what I've heard? Is everybody else hearing that soon and very soon Jesus is coming back?
Amen.
I was telling, amen, folks this week, if you look at, I don't know about you, but I pay attention to current events, especially what's happening in the Middle East. Things have intensified in Lebanon. Things are intensifying when it comes to Hamas and Israel. We've got to pay attention because it is all setting the stage for the return of the Messiah. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for his return. But he said, amen, before he returns, that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I'm ready for him to return, but before he does, there's some things that I've been waiting on. There's some things that I've heard that I've not seen yet. There are some promises that I've heard in my ears concerning family members that I've not seen. Promises that I've heard concerning blessings that I've not seen. Promises, amen, that this corporate body has heard, but we have not seen. But I'm here to tell you through the authority of the Holy Ghost on a Thursday night that what we have heard is getting ready to line up with what we're getting ready to see. That it's not going to just be something that we heard, just to tuck it back in our memory and say it'll happen, amen, when it happens. But it's going to become a reality. Overflow will become a reality. Blessing will will become a reality. Peace will become a reality. Can somebody help me on a Thursday night? Because I'm ready to see what the Lord wants to do. Am I the only one waiting on God? Am I the only one trusting in God? Am I the only one that has sought the Lord? And I'm waiting on Him to answer. I've sought Him. And He said, Sister Jenny was going to do it. I sought Him. And He said He was going to move. But I've not seen the proof or the evidence of it yet. But I'm going to wait on the Lord. Yeah, listen, I don't know about you, but waiting can get hard. Waiting can get discouraged. When you hear something, if you're like me, I get excited real quick when I hear about stuff. Amen, that the Lord is getting ready to do. And I get excited. And you get a word from the Lord. And you get a prophecy. And you get, amen, something in your prayer closet. You're ready to jump up and down. You're ready to lay hands on everybody coming and going. Nothing's going to stop you. Nothing's going to defeat you. Nothing's going to keep you from obtaining it until you have to wait on it.
Come on.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Confession is good for the soul. Sometimes I'm not a very patient person. I drive my wife crazy. Because everything in life is so quick.
Right.
And sometimes I don't like to wait. But now, I want it now. I've got to have it now. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. I don't know about you, but I got to wait sometimes. And it's hard to wait. And you get discouraged when you wait. And you don't see any proof or evidence. And then you start doubting whether it's going to really happen or not. The Bible said he heard the sound of the abundance of rain. The Bible said that Elijah went up to the top of the mountain and he cast himself down to the earth. He put himself in a position to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to his servant, he said, go up now, look toward the sea. Now, this is just Matthew Leslie's commentary. But the servant probably thought to himself, I'm getting ready to see something that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. Probably excited. Woo! What am I getting ready to see? And he looks, and there is no proof or evidence of anything. In the Bible, it says there is nothing. The word there is italicized. If you've got the KJV, if you look, it's italicized, which means the interpreter or the translator added it for, amen, just for information, just to add it, amen, for confirmation. But if it's italicized, it means it wasn't there in the original text. So he didn't look at it and say, there is nothing. Really, he looked at it and said, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see? Nothing. Not one thing.
Nada.
Nada. Zilch. Zippo. Boy, that will deflate your balloon real quick.
Come on.
For sure.
When you tell yourself, I'm getting ready to see it. It's coming. I anticipate it. I've prepared for it. I've fasted over it. I'm believing God for it. And then the Lord says, go tell me what you see. I'm going, woo, yeah. And you look and you're like, nothing. And you can get discouraged. You probably looked and said, you know what? Man of God, you've been right up to this point. You called down fire and fire came. You declared there was going to be no rain and there's no rain. But you might have got your wires crossed on this one because I don't see anything. There's no proof or no evidence that something is working on my behalf. And it's in that moment as a child of God that it's easy to get discouraged in the waiting. And it's in that moment where you start questioning whether you are worthy enough to receive what the Lord said you can have. Am I the only one that's ever been there? Or you start questioning what you need to do to earn it. When you can't earn it, but you just got to wait on it. Or you get to the place where you start questioning whether it was really the Lord or not that said it to you. Oh, I feel this tonight. But I've come to tell you that what you have heard and what he has promised is getting ready to come in alignment with what you're getting ready to see. And you may not have any proof or evidence right now that something is moving, but you've got to trust him even when you don't see it. And you've got to trust him even when you don't hear it. And you've got to trust him even when you don't feel it. And when you go one time and you don't see anything, go another time and you don't see anything, go look again and again and again, because I'm telling you, you're about ready to hit your seventh time. And soon and very soon, you're about to see some evidence that God is answering your prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that's where Judah Tabernacle is right now. All of the promises that God has made us, even as of late, camp meeting, the promise that was spoken over us as a corporate body. Amen. When I begin to listen to what the Lord was saying to our pastor and saying to us as a corporate body on that Friday night of camp meeting, I thought to myself, God, I believe you, but there ain't no proof right now that that's going to happen. Amen. In my flesh, I thought, God, I know you can. But looking at circumstances right now as it is, there is no proof. We don't see anything moving or working.
Come on.
But the Lord said, look again.
Mm-hmm.
Look one more time. Because the Bible said when the servant came and saw, amen, the seventh time, that he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. And God began to move.
Yes, yes.
And God began to work. Go look again. I don't know if I shared this story personally. I think with some folk, amen, in personal conversation. But I don't know if I shared it corporately here at Judah. But about a month ago, Trish and I were in revival in Marion, Ohio, up north. And I, the brother shared the story with me, and I have just been sharing it because it talks about the proof. His son, and then who just celebrated a birthday, his son was diagnosed with cancer. It was lymphoma, I think, was the cancer. Don't quote me on that. And his son had went into relapse, and he was getting ready to go back in for another treatment they were going to do. I believe it was stem cell treatment on Brother Steve, I believe. And he went in to Children's Hospital here, Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus. They live in Van Lew, Ohio, in that area. And he said to me on that Saturday night after church, he said, Brother Leslie, he said, my son went in. He said, we were pretty discouraged, he said, because he had to go in for treatment. He said, we were worried. We knew that God was going to take care of him, but it was a hard thing. And he said, we were in there on that, amen, that night, and they were getting hooked up. And he said, a little man came in. He said he was a little Oriental Asian man that had a chaplain badge on. And he came into the hospital, he said, and I couldn't hardly understand what he was saying. He said, but then he said the word faith. And Sister Rachel, he said, I understood that. And I said, yeah, we've got faith. And he said, the man started talking again. And he said he couldn't understand what he was saying, but he understood the phrase, can I pray? And he looked at him and he said, you can pray for our son. And he said that chaplain laid his hands on his son and began to pray. And he said, I was trying to pay attention to what he was saying, and I could not make it out. He said, but all of a sudden his voice changed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and a deep voice came out of him and said, I am the Lord thy God.
Amen.
I am here. And in a nutshell, I'm going to heal your body. You're coming out of this. You're going to be all right.
Yes.
And he said, that man lifted his hand and walked out of that room. And he said, it wasn't long after that evening, that he wanted to find that chaplain and talk to him. And he went down to the reception desk there, and he told the receptionist, he said, I'm looking for one of your chaplains. And she said, well, can you describe him to me? And he said, he's a little short guy. He's an Oriental guy, Asian guy. And she looked at him puzzled. And And he said, "Why are you looking at me puzzled?" And she said, "We don't have a chaplain that makes that description." He said, "You've got to have one, because he came into my room to pray for my son." And he said, she said, "No, sir." And she began to show him the chaplain log and begin to see that there was no chaplain that matched anything to that description. Hallelujah. And he said he began to go up to his room, and the head nurse was there. And he told the head nurse, he said, "Did you see that chaplain come into my room?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Do you know him?" She said, "Sir, I've never seen him one time in this hospital. I thought he came with you." Long story short, he searched for days and could not find the identification of that chaplain. He began to smile, and a smile hit my face. And I said, "Brother," he said, "exactly what you think." He said, "I believe the Lord sent an angel to my son that night in the hospital." They said on the 11th day, amen, that things would start turning, that he would be there more than 11 days. But on the 11th day of his hospital visit, he was being discharged. And at the time that he told me this story, his son just got a report that said he was cancer free, and there was no more cancer in his body. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God that we serve. And I told the Lord, "Hey, I feel the Holy Ghost." I said, "I told the Lord, hey, and God, I've heard about that all my life, but I want to start seeing some of that here at Judah Tabernacle." Can somebody give him a shout of praise? Ooh, I know it's a Thursday and I'm trying to be good, but I can't help myself tonight. But I believe there's some supernatural encounters that are coming to some people in this house.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I just seen on social media that they celebrated his birthday. I think it was last week. They celebrated his birthday. Amen. And he still has a big smile on his face. I'm telling you, that's the God that we serve tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if God can do it for him,
come on.
God can do it for us.
Amen.
And if God can bring proof and evidence to them, God can bring proof and evidence to you that are waiting on the promise tonight.
Amen.
What are you waiting on? What is it that you've heard but yet you have not seen? And tonight you've come into this house of worship and you're discouraged because you've not seen any proof of it yet. But I'm here to give you a word of encouragement. What you have heard, you're getting ready to see. Because the Bible said, in the meanwhile, it came to pass, which means something's getting ready to happen, that it came to pass that the clouds began to turn black. The Bible said that there came a heavy rain. I thought about it. I thought, what is a storm? There is a storm now that's brewing, a hurricane. I was watching it today. Amen. The hurricane that is hitting Florida. Amen. And people are encouraged to evacuate. I thought about that. For the last few days, my parents actually were vacationing in Sarasota. And the place where they were vacationing, the owner of that condo came to them Tuesday and said, "I'm not telling you what to do, and you can stay if you want to, but she highly suggested that my parents make it home before the storm began, amen, to brew, and before the storm came down to land." She was telling them to prepare themselves. And I thought about that. I said, there's something that's getting ready to happen. We need to prepare ourselves. And God's been dealing with me. I don't know about anybody else, but God's been dealing with me to make sure that everything is lined up, to make sure all of my ducks are in a row, to make sure that all my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted, because there is something that's brewing over the horizon, in the atmosphere, in the spirit. God's getting ready to pour out something upon his people in this last hour. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. But I want to be prepared because I'm ready to see what he's about to do. I thought about a storm. What is a storm? A storm is a disturbance in the atmosphere. And when the conditions are right, then the storm will take place. When the conditions are right in the atmosphere, then God can cause a disturbance. What is a disturbance? You ask, well, since you're asking, I might as well tell you what it is. But a disturbance is a disruption. It's the act of disturbing, the state of being disrupted, to interfere with, to interrupt, to alter the position or the arrangement of something. God is getting ready to interfere. He's getting ready to interrupt. And he's going to alter the position or the arrangement. And he's going to bring a storm that is going to, amen, touch the people of God. The blackness of sky is going to cause the enemy to be caught off guard. The wind is caught in the storm. I thought about the winds that they were projecting for this hurricane that is hitting Florida. Amen. Some 50, 60 mile hour winds. Some 70, 80, 90 mile hour winds. Amen. They were telling folks, do not stay here. This is a hurricane that can cause damage and death. It can take your life if you stay here, this kind of surge. And I thought about the winds that they were projecting and predicting. And I thought about the winds. They've already got people, amen, ready. People in Tallahassee that are ready because of the trees that would be destroyed because of the winds. And I thought, how powerful is the wind that comes through, that a wind that can blow 60 to 70 miles an hour, can take a big tree down, can take out power lines, can cause such disruption in life. And I thought, man, it's almost like the breath of God that can bring life and revival again to the saints. The breath of God that can breathe upon dry bones and make them live again. The breath of God that can cause the enemy's camp to be in disorder, to scramble the plans of the enemy. I say, breathe on us again, O God. Breathe life on us. Breathe the wind of God on us again. I thought about the thunder. The word thunder in Hebrew means to call loud with a voice. Amen. And the voice of God to be clear and direct to his people in this last hour. Not only does he want to breathe on us, but he wants to speak to us again. Somebody says, does God still speak? Sure he does. He's just looking for somebody that's willing to listen. He's just looking for somebody that he can speak to. And then I thought about lightning. Lightning means to deposit in the Hebrew. It means to descend. I thought, man, the wind's going to breathe life on us. God's going to speak to us. And then he's going to deposit in us what we need in this last hour. Amen. Then I thought about the rain. The rain is a sign of divine forgiveness. You see, drought is a sign of punishment or displeasure. But it's the rain that's the sign that God is bringing forgiveness back. I say, rain on us again. We've been sowing, we've been praying. Now we're crying, heaven, send the rain. We need a refreshing. We need a washing away. All of this that wants to attach itself on us. All of this that wants to attach to our mind, our will, and our emotions. God, let the holy rain fall on us again. God, let it be a refreshing to us. Let it wash us from our head down to our feet, oh God. I'm ready. I don't need to take out my umbrella. I don't want to put on my rain jacket. I don't even want to take my rain boots out of the closet. But I'm ready to get right in the middle of the rain. Have you ever heard the expression, you just got to dance in the rain? I'm looking for somebody that says, I need to dance again. I want to get right in the middle of the refreshing rain and dance one more time. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, the rain is on the way. The thunder is coming. The wind is coming. Amen. God is going to bring revival. And we're getting ready to see again what we have heard the Lord said he was going to do.
Amen.
God has promised it, and he's faithful to it.
Amen.
His timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. Sometimes he answers it in a way that we didn't even think of. But tonight, the Lord just wants me to simply tell you that what you are hearing you're getting ready to see. Amen?
Amen.
I believe great things are coming for us.
Amen.
I believe great things are coming for us. I don't know what we're getting ready to face. I've talked to a lot of folk. Amen. You know, like I said, Pastor said he felt like something's coming. I've talked to other folk who felt like something's coming. I've talked to folk today who said they feel they have just felt heavy this week. That something, amen, may be brewing over the horizon. But what I know is God's faithful.
Amen. All right, he'll keep us.
And he's sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's able to keep us. Mm-hmm. Amen. And lead us and guide us. So look at somebody and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
You're getting ready to see it.
You're getting ready to see it.
It's getting ready to come. Amen. And when we see it, we can testify. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet all over this place tonight.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord.
Yes, Father.
That I feel in this place.
Yes, yes.
Something's getting ready to happen. Great things are in store.
Come on,
God. Amen. I thought about what happens in the natural for Israel happens in the spirit for God's people. I don't know about you, but warfare has intensified, has it not?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Confession is good for the soul. I'm among family, so I can be transparent. I've asked the Lord, give me just a moment. Just one moment.
Come on.
Where I can just
heck no.
Breathe. Here lately feels like the mind every moment is being bombarded with all kinds of stuff. So I don't know about you, but I'm waiting on a refreshing. I need a refreshing. I need the wind of God to breathe on me again. I need God to deposit in me again. I need a rekindling again. We're in the month of the Lord. Getting ready to go into the season of Teshuvah, of repentance, before the fall feast. God, reposition us. Redirect us. Change our focus. Get us in line for a refreshing. Because here's what I believe before the coming of the Lord, that the people of God is going to encounter such a refreshing in the spirit.
Amen.
No matter what goes on around us, there's going to come a refreshing in the spirit. Signs and wonders will follow us. I believe supernatural miracles and encounters will be an everyday occurrence in the life of a covenant believer. Hallelujah. I know it's a little bit different tonight. But I tell you, I feel the Lord tonight really wanting to refresh somebody. The other day, as it began to pour the rain, I was excited. I walk out in my yard, my grass crunches. It's brown, more brown than it is green. My plants are dying because they don't have sufficient water. And as the rain began to come down, I thought, God, that's what we need in the Holy Ghost. We need a refreshing in your spirit, God. We need you to breathe on us again. Some of us need a refreshing in our home. Some of our children need a refreshing. Some of our spouses need a refreshing. Some of us need a refreshing on our job. Some of us need a refreshing in our mind and in our spirit, in our soul. Some of us need a refreshing in our body, our physical body. We need a refreshing and a renewing and new strength. So tonight, before we leave this place, let me ask you, have you heard it lately? Have you heard the sound of the abundance of rain in the atmosphere? You can always tell when rain is coming. I had somebody tell me that the other day. My grandmother, who is now on with the Lord, I remember, would tell me, it's going to rain. And she called me on the phone and we talked. She said, it's going to rain today. I said, there's no rain in the forecast. She goes, I'm telling you, it's going to rain today. My hips and knees are telling me.
That's right.
It's going to rain today. She could predict the rain and the weather. She says, there's dampness in the air. I'm telling you, son, it's going to rain. And it wouldn't be long after I would hang up the phone with her. And I would say, Grandma, you're right. I'd have to call back and say, you're right. It's raining at my house. She said, I told you. I told you. I feel that in my bones tonight, if I can say it that way.
Amen.
I feel it in my bones that rain is on the horizon for the people of God. Hallelujah. So be not weary. Don't be discouraged. Don't be distraught. Don't hang your harp on the willow tree. But lift up your head, O Zion, in this hour and rejoice, because heaven is getting ready to send the rain. Amen. If you say, that's me, I need a refreshing. I need the Lord to send rain. I need the Lord to send his wind. I just want you to raise your hands in this house of worship for just a moment. I'm believing that the Lord is going to touch folk right where you are. I know we get caught up sometimes in prayer lines and altar services. And if you're not right with the Lord tonight, this altar's open for you. And we'll pray for you. And if you need special prayer, we're going to pray. There's a young man that I feel led for somebody standing for in just a moment. So if you need special prayer, the altar's open. If you need saved tonight, I look around and everybody, I assume, is right with the Lord. Maybe you're watching tonight and you're not right with the Lord. But right where you are, I'm asking the Lord to touch you, to send rain, to send his presence. Oh God, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to move among your people tonight. God, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would begin to minister and begin to work and begin to touch. I pray, God, that you would send rain, God, that you would begin to refresh your people. I pray, God, that you would begin to let your wind begin to blow life again. I feel like tonight, God, that you want to resurrect promises in people's lives. Promises and words, God, that you've spoken that may, God, have fade our memory. God, I pray, renew it again. Speak life to them again. God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would deposit in us. God, that you would let your voice be loud and clear to us. And God, that you would send the rain of your Spirit to begin to minister to us in Jesus' name.
Yes, God.
If you need special prayer tonight, this altar is open for you. We want to pray for you. I'm going to ask